Our text this morning that Hattie read for us functions something like the preview for Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke. It's a sort of compressed theatrical trailer that's meant to introduce the main themes and whet our appetites for what's to come and clue us in to what to be looking for as we go through Luke and Acts, as a matter of fact. And in keeping with the sort of quick-hitting, no deep explanations pattern of this text, I'm not going to go into depth in what's going on here. I'm going to hopefully clue you in to what to be looking for as we go through Luke and whet your appetites for the ministry of Jesus. And because we're going to be moving pretty quickly, we've got sort of half-page outlines printed up that Vanessa and Lucy are going to help me out by passing out. And that should, I hope, let you track what's going on. So last week in verses 16 to 30, we were introduced to the core purpose of Jesus' ministry, the opening of blind eyes. Jesus knows that all of us, however well our physical eyes see, on our own, we are spiritually blind. We don't see God clearly, we don't see ourselves clearly, we don't see one another clearly. And he comes to earth not to condemn us for our blindness, but to open our eyes, to help us see. And now we start to see in this passage for today how Jesus is going to go about it. We see the pattern of Jesus' ministry on earth. And there are five elements of Jesus' ministry that get introduced in these verses that show up again and again and again as we go through Luke and Acts. And so I'm going to introduce those elements quickly and then pause for a few moments on the responses that Jesus' ministry is meant to evoke from us. So here we get the pattern of Jesus' ministry, and we see five elements of that pattern. The first element we see is words of authority. Right at the beginning, and Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. Authority here means more than expertise. People heard teaching from Bible experts every Sabbath day in the synagogue, and so they wouldn't have been astonished at a Bible expert teaching, but they are astonished at the authority of Jesus. And authority in Scripture is the result of deep familiarity with God and deep love for the hearers. In order for Jesus to be speaking with authority, he has to be intimate, deeply familiar with God, and he has to care deeply, be compassionate for the people he's listening to. One or the other is not authority. Only the two of those together make for words of authority. And throughout Luke, when Jesus speaks, he speaks with authority. That does not mean his words are always easy to hear. We have seen that already, and we will see it again and again and again. Often Jesus has hard things to say. But they are always true, and they are always loving, focused on the good of the person listening. To speak with authority is to be able to say with integrity, I know what is good for you, and I want what is good for you. And when Jesus speaks, it is always because he knows what is good for the people listening, and he wants what is good for the people listening. So the first element in this pattern of Jesus' ministry will be words of authority. The second element in the pattern goes hand in hand with it. It's acts of loving power. Jesus' ministry will have a recurring pattern of acts of loving power. This is perhaps what really grabbed your attention in the text is, you know, Jesus casts out demons and heals people. So he's demonstrating enormous power over spiritual evil and over physical evil. But it's not power for power's sake. Jesus performs all kinds of miracles through the Gospel of Luke. They are never pure power demonstrations. They are always for the sake of love. His miracles, however powerful, are always governed and directed by his love for the people he's serving. So he doesn't just cast out the demon. He casts it out without allowing the demon to do any harm to the person. Because it's not just about power, it's about loving power. And this is important. All of Jesus' miracles are acts of loving power. However, all of Jesus' acts of loving power are not miracles. If you take the category acts of loving power that Jesus does, inside of that category are all his miracles. But for instance, when he washes the disciples' feet, this is the opposite of miraculous. It's mundane, even lowly as an act. But it is loving and it is tremendously powerful. Again and again and again, Jesus' ministry includes acts of loving power, whether or not they're miraculous. So, the ministry of Jesus, the pattern of Jesus, will include words of authority. It'll include acts of loving power. The third element, it will include a clouded identity. This is one of the stranger things going on in the text. So up until this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' true identity as God's beloved human son has been clouded. Right? Not entirely hidden, but also not entirely revealed. Right, I can see out the triangular windows at the sky. Nobody can see the sun right now because it's clouded. And yet some light is getting through. That's been Jesus' identity. Right? Until this moment, when demons start to reveal Jesus' true identity, they're the first ones to say, "We know who you are. You are the Son of God." And Jesus shuts them up. He doesn't let them say what they know. What is going on here? This is one of the deep mysteries of the Gospels. People have been trying to understand this in full for centuries. I'm not going to pretend to give you the whole answer here. But at least what is going on here is that Jesus cares more about who gets the message of his identity out than he cares about how fast the message gets out or how far it spreads. I don't want to overstate this. Jesus does care about the message of who he is getting out. And Jesus is not sort of holding out for perfect messengers. We'll find that out in the very next passage in chapter 5. But he is more interested in the quality and character of the messengers who spread the news of his identity than he is in the effectiveness or reach by which the message is spread. He wants the people carrying the news of who he is to have actually been changed by it, not just to understand it. And so his identity remains more clouded than we might think it needs to be. And this will keep coming up. It's a pattern throughout Luke. Okay, first element, words of authority. Second element, acts of loving power. Third element, clouded identity. Fourth element, rest. Jesus, he spends 24 hours teaching and healing, speaking words of authority, doing acts of loving power, and then he withdraws. Verse 42, and when it was day, Jesus departed and went into a desolate place. It's not that he's done everything there is to do in Capernaum. There are still words of authority that could be spoken. There are still acts of loving power that could be done. That's why the crowds seek him out and try to get him to come back and do more work. And it's not that Jesus has reached the end of his capacity. I mean, 24 hours of a shift is a long shift. There's a couple of doctors in here who have worked 24-hour shifts as residents. That'll wear you out. Right? But if Jesus has the endurance to go 40 days without food, he has the endurance to go 2 days without sleep. It's not that he's spent. It's that Jesus is committed to doing less in order to pray more. Jesus is committed to doing less in order to pray more. He's committed to real biblical rest. That in order to pray more bit, that's not in our text. It's in chapter 5, verse 16. So it's like three paragraphs from now that Jesus withdraws to desolate places in order to pray. Jesus is committed to not doing as much as he possibly could, even of very good things, in order to spend time resting, engaging in the kind of prayer we saw him engage in chapter 3. Not where he's trying to perform and say enough holy things out loud in front of other people, but prayer in which he receives the reminder of his Father's love. A recurring pattern in Jesus' ministry will be rest, will be doing less good than he's capable of, in order to withdraw and remember that he is loved by his Father, whether he does good or not. Okay, words of authority, acts of loving power, clouded identity, rest. The fifth element that we see here in Jesus' ministry is a clarity of purpose. The story ends with the people of Capernaum finding Jesus and wanting him to come back into the village and do more good work. Keep teaching. Keep healing. And Jesus says, I'm not going to do that. That's not my purpose. Verse 43, but Jesus said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. An element in the pattern of Jesus' ministry is a clarity that his purpose is given to him by God who sent him. Not imposed upon him by the people he cares about who are all around him. In his ministry, Jesus is not beholden to doing everything that the people he loves want him to do. Not because then he's free to do whatever he feels like, but because he is beholden instead to fulfilling the purpose given to him by his Father. Those are the five elements in the pattern of Jesus' ministry. He will speak words of authority. He will do acts of loving power. His identity will remain clouded in ways that are confusing. He will rest, and he will have a clarity of purpose. If we internalize these elements, and as we read through Luke, we will much better understand what Jesus is up to and who he is. And that is good, but that is not the main point for us to understand. We met in this text some people who understand who Jesus is and what he is up to better than you and I do. And we are not supposed to emulate the demons. The response that is called for here is more than understanding. Two responses will unfold as we go through Luke. The first is to let Jesus be the pattern of our lives. And then the second is to let Jesus be the source of our life. We are meant to respond by letting Jesus be the pattern of our lives. Luke, if you don't know, is volume one of a two-volume work, the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, which is just a few pages forward in your Bible. They go together. And if you read them together, and you look at the life of Jesus, and you look for these five elements, you will find them all over the place. And if you read them and you look at the lives of Jesus' followers, and you look for these five elements, you will find them all over the place. Starting in just a couple of pages in Luke chapter 9, but then really accelerating in the book of Acts. For those of us in the room who count ourselves followers of Jesus, this pattern is meant to be the pattern of our lives. We are meant to speak words of authority. We are meant to engage in acts of loving power. We are meant to live with a clouded identity. We are meant to rest. And we are meant to have a clarity of purpose anchored in God's love for us that doesn't allow us to be dragged every which way by the most recent, decent-seeming request from somebody we know. This whole thing is the pattern of the life, not just of Jesus, but of all who follow him. Now, Jesus followers, slow and steady bears the fruit. This is meant to be more and more of our lives, but it happens slowly. The pattern of life laid out here for Jesus is not something that you can order on Amazon and upload as an upgrade tomorrow afternoon when it arrives. It is, as Jesus said over and over again, like planting a seed that may take years before it bears fruit, but over time bears it abundantly. Be patient, not anxious. In this, letting Jesus be the pattern of our lives, it will be slow and steady that bears fruit. But there will be fruit. We will come to be able to speak words of authority, even words of, I am sorry, because I remembered how much Jesus loves me and is not ashamed of me. I can now say, I was wrong and you were right, and I don't have to be ashamed. Slow and steady will lead to acts of loving power. Whether those are miracles that we get to be a part of or mundane foot washings. Slow and steady will bear the fruit of being at peace with our identity in Christ being a clouded thing. Not entirely hidden, but also not entirely revealed to us or to the people around us. Slow and steady will give us the freedom to rest because we don't have to earn our place anymore by doing enough. We were loved and delighted in before we did anything good. We're loved and delighted in despite the fact that we do many things that are not good. And slowly and steadily, our purpose, given to us by our Father, not imposed on us 5 minutes at a time by the most recent or loudest request, will become clear to us. We are meant to respond by letting this pattern of Jesus' life be the pattern of our lives. The second response, though, is for us to let Jesus be the source of our life. In fact, Jesus cannot be the pattern of our lives unless Jesus is the source of our life. We cannot love in this way unless we are being loved. Think of it this way. Slow and steady bears the fruit, this image of, you know, an apple tree. There is no apple tree on earth, however mature, however strong, that can go a year without receiving and still be alive. Take away the soil and the water and the sunlight, and any tree that is not receiving will die. It cannot give life unless it is continuously receiving life, and we are the same. When we read this story and get the pattern of Jesus' life, before we can be participants in it, we have to be recipients of it. Before we can be Jesus acting with loving power towards those possessed by unclean demons or those with fevers or those in poverty or those who are blind, we have to be the unclean, the ill, the poor in spirit, the spiritually blind, and have Jesus in his love cleanse us by his blood, heal us by his grace, become poor that he might make us rich. Open our eyes to see his loving face. There is unspeakable beauty and love and power in this pattern of life. And Jesus came to give it to you. May you receive it, not just once, but all your life long into eternity. And in receiving it, may it become the pattern of your life as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your beloved human son, Jesus our Savior. Thank you for the pattern of his life, his way of being in this world. Open our hearts to receive what you are offering to us. And in receiving, give us grace to participate as well. Amen.